The Pope weighs in on climate change. It's an economic issue, too. From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Pope Francis wants action now to protect the environment and deal with climate change. This in a draft copy of his long-awaited encyclical. It's the Pope, so there's a religious aspect, and it's climate, so science is there too. But there's also a huge economic component. Nova Safo takes a look.
In the leaked early draft of the letter, Pope Francis lays out the case for addressing climate change and says wealthier countries have to help developing ones in dealing with the problem. The letter's timing is important. Some 200 countries plan to meet at the end of the year to sign a new climate change agreement. The Pope wants to influence that process.
Once the encyclical letter comes out, then priests all around the world are going to work it into their sermon.
Andrew Hoffman is professor of sustainable enterprise at the University of Michigan. He says the Pope's letter could have a big impact.
Right now, the primary messengers on climate change are democratic politicians, environmentalists, and scientists. And we need more messengers from different domains. And so I think the Pope coming forward can make a moral argument where others can't.
Among that argument, the Pope appears to come down against carbon credits, a financial instrument that puts a price on air pollution. In his letter, the Pope argues that carbon credits could, quote, give rise to a new form of speculation. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Zero is the number for the former AIG CEO Hank Greenberg. A judge ruled in his favor in the lawsuit alleging the government overreached in its $85 billion bailout of the insurance giant. But that same judge said Greenberg wasn't entitled to a penny. That means he has nothing to show for the surprise win, except for staggering legal bills. For the rest of us, the ruling still matters because it could limit what the government can do in a future financial crisis. The Gap is closing 175 stores. The troubled clothing retailer hopes this will help it refocus and be more nimble. Recent years have been tough as the Gap has missed the boat on some key fashion trends. The military is on a shopping mission. Top brass wants to replace the iconic four-wheel drive Humvee. The Army wants to buy some 55,000 Joint Light Tactical Vehicles, JLTVs, over the next quarter century. Tim Fitzsimmons reports on how the Pentagon is trying to avoid some of the pitfalls of previous vehicles.
The Battlefield Humvee became known for the wrong reasons during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. All you have to do is search YouTube.
Oh! Heidi!
Improvised explosive devices were common during the occupation. Nobody was killed by that one, but others were very deadly. The military reacted. It fortified existing Humvees and brought in big mine-resistant vehicles. But Brian Friel, a government contracts analyst at Bloomberg, says those were battlefield improvisations.
The JLTV is seen as the longer-term fix to a problem that was just sort of band-aid patch.
The new JLTV will get back to basics, light, quick, and ubiquitous. Lockheed Martin and Oshkosh Defense are submitting bids, and so is AM General, which made the original Humvee. Byron Callen, an analyst with Capital Alpha, says all bids are not created equal.
Lockheed Martin, you know, this will probably be a picture and a footnote in their annual report if they win it.
But Callen says winning this contract might be make or break for AM General. I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
Marketplace is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. It's an old ritual for budget-minded grooms and prom-going guys, renting a tux, but it is going away. Industry giant Men's Warehouse is warning investors that its tux rental business is withering. The reasons why cut across culture and economics and involve men and women. Kyle Stock from Bloomberg Business joins us to help understand what's happening. Hi there, Kyle.
Hi, Mark.
So one big thing driving this is that we're dressing more casually everywhere. So that plays at work, that plays at weddings. And so a suit can now work where you once needed a tux. But there's also this shift in thinking about weddings overall. Explain what's going on there.
Yeah, there's just generally fewer people as a share are getting married. So last year in the U.S., it was only 7 out of every 1,000 people walked down the aisle, which isn't a lot. In the past 25 years, that rate has dropped by almost a third.
So fewer weddings as a whole. And the other thing going on is that the global economy and some of the advantages we have from that are making it cheaper to buy a tux. Explain what's happening there.
Yeah, the math on the buy versus borrow, the margin there, the spread is getting smaller. there's a rash of online startups that are cutting out the middleman with these direct-to-consumer models. So there's this company called the Black Tux. And then you also see some more established retail brands. Companies like J.Crew and Bonobos are now selling tuxedos at pretty affordable price points. So that's making a difference.
So my wife and I were at an event a while ago, and it was formal dress. So the organizers said dark suits were fine for men, so I didn't need to rent a tux. And my wife, she rented this really cool formal, since it would be silly to buy a dress that she could probably just wear once, really. So are we going to see more of that when you have sites like Rent the Runway? Are we just entering a new period where women are the target market for rentals and men are more likely to buy?
Yeah, there's a bit of a flip there going on, for sure. For a man, a tux is generally an investment. I mean, it's not a style that changes much over time. For evening wear, for women, you know, that's a hugely capricious market. That's something that changes by the season, by the year, very often. There's a whole crop of companies that are really sharpening their marketing on this and making it a cool transaction. It's not thought of as a way to save money. It's thought of as a way to stay with the trend and stay on the times.
Okay, Kyle Stock from Bloomberg, thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
And finally, all the noodles must die. That's the order from Nestle India. It says it'll destroy $50 million worth of its instant noodles. The company's under fire after testing showed the popular Indian product contains excessive lead. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.